I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
We have such sights to show you.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Check out the big brain on Brad.
I guess I was probably returning videotapes.
I am big. It's the picture that got small.
Who cares?
Speak, friend, and enter into another wonderful episode of the Movie Roulette Tuesday podcast. This is Rachel.
This is Carl.
This is Matt.
Why are you making that face?
You always have to, that's funny.
You always have to be extra with your openings.
I want to be a little extra. Yeah. You know what? Listeners,
speak,
tell
friend,
me if
and
you,
enter.
Yeah, what's
doing
that
a little
from?
Lord of the Rings.
Yes, Gandalf. Thank you. I'm so glad. Yeah, when they're trying to go
Belloc
into the minds of
friend.
Moria. Yeah. Yeah, speak, friend, and enter. Uh-huh. Anyway, it's my choice today, pick in the themesicle. And the current themesicle is, I should watch that again. And I had a couple of ideas that I bounced around, but I decided on a movie that I only saw once when it in the theater with Matthew when it first came out in 1998.
We saw this in the theater?
We did. Hmm. And that movie is What Dreams May Come.
Which is one of the saddest movies.
That's what Carl said.
It is sad.
Ever made, as far as I'm concerned.
So I picked this movie because I remember it affected you. It affected a lot of people. Obviously, you too, Carl.
I would say it left an impression on me.
Well, I just remember you had a strong reaction to it.
Sure, yeah.
And I don't think I did. Like, I don't even remember, like, when I did my little notes for this, I'm like, oh, that's what this movie's about? Like, I didn't even remember what it was about. I just remembered the visual effects.
I don't think we saw this in the theater.
We did.
I remember buying this movie when it came out.
You bought it after we saw it in the theater because you liked it so much you wanted to own it. See, I remember that.
No,
But I don't remember what the movie was about.
Huh. Okay.
Which is weird. Anyway, other choices that I lingered over were Swiss Army Man, just because I only saw that. We watched that for MRT. That's with Daniel Radcliffe.
Pre-podcast.
And that movie is ridiculous. Ridiculous. It's
arguably the best farting boner corpse movie ever made.
Now, if you said, hey, let's watch a farting boner corpse movie, I'd probably be like, you know what? I'm good. I pass. But I really enjoyed that movie.
Listen, anybody within earshot of this podcast, Swiss Army Man was a movie written and directed by the Daniels, who just won Academy Awards for Everything Everywhere.
All at once.
All at once. This was a movie they did immediately prior.
Yeah.
And it continues their trend of making ridiculous movies that are surprisingly poignant.
Yes.
I really liked Swiss Army Man.
Yeah, I liked it.
And it's if you want to see Harry Potter
as a
farting boner corpse, I mean, it's going to be your movie.
Which is really good. I don't know. So I almost picked that. I also almost picked Lost in Translation, another movie I only seen once with you guys. And I remember there was a lot of acclaim for that movie, and I didn't feel the magic. Like, it was okay.
I didn't care for it either.
I like Bill
it's
Murray.
It's not that I didn't like it.
I like Scarlett Johansson.
I didn't see what the big deal was.
Yeah.
But I think that's a really good choice for I Should Watch That Again.
Yeah. So that was, and then the other one was just because I love this movie and I wanted to watch it again, was Rear Window. Alfred Hitchcock, Jimmy Stewart, Grace Kelly. I love that movie, but that was kind of a cop out. I didn't really have a good reason except.
Yeah, and how many times have we seen
that? I
like
that movie. It was at the bottom of the list, but it was on there.
Yeah.
So anyway, I chose out of all those What Dreams May Come, which was made in 1998, starring Robin Williams, Cuba Gooding Jr., and Max von Sydow.
Which, is it Cuba or Cuba?
I think you can say it whatever way you prefer.
I think it's technically Cuba.
So you can say Cuba or Cuba, and that's fine, but you can't say Ralph Fiennes.
Do not go down this road. You are banished from talking about this.
Saying.
So this movie is, as follows. Dr. Chris Nielsen meets his true soulmate, Annie, marries her, and has two children. The children... So this is where I get confused. Let me read this. The children die in a car accident, and Chris dies 4 years after that. But you guys said in the movie...
What?
They all die at once.
They all die. I don't...
You don't know if they all die together. I don't think they all die together.
I mean, I believe your description over my memory of a movie that's decades years old.
You know what? We're going to find out. Ending up in heaven, he is guided by friendly guardian angel Albert through the afterlife, and he is reunited with his dog and children. But when he finds out his wife had committed suicide, he desperately searches for her spirit, journeying through heaven and hell along the way. So we've got some afterlife action going on.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But basically, two things. One is I wanted to know, I'm like, that title sounds familiar, and because it is derived from Hamlet, Act 3, Scene 1, where Hamlet says, "To sleep, perchance to dream, aye, there's the rub, for in that sleep of death, what dreams may come. Mm. When we have shuffled off, this mortal coil must give us pause." So that's where that comes from.
Yeah.
And then the other thing I thought of was, this story sounds familiar. Like a man goes through the afterlife to save his wife, because it's the story of Orpheus. Right. Does everyone remember the story of Orpheus?
Yes.
Yes? Mm-hmm. Where he is a musician and his wife gets bitten by a snake?
Like a, oh my God.
Snake bite.
Yeah.
And she dies, and he's, like, so upset that he goes and gets her. And I think he plays music for Hades or something, and he's like, "Oh, you're so good. Yeah, all right, go ahead and take your wife back." But the condition was that when they're traveling back up to the world, he cannot turn around and look at her.
Right.
And he doesn't until he does. And then she dies again.
Right.
And he loses her.
It's like turning into a pillar of salt.
Yeah, it's kind of like Lot. Mm-hmm. Or, right? Was that Lot?
Wife of
yes.
Bath.
Wife
Lot's
of
Wife of Bath.
Lot's Wife. No,
Lot's
the wife of Bath is the Canterbury.
Oh, all right. Yeah,
that's a different book.
Lot's wife turned into a pillar of salt.
That's right. Because she looked back. What was that Sodom and Gomorrah?
I can't remember.
I don't know. That's really bad. Anyway, I guess when Orpheus made it, he and his wife made it to back to Earth. The sun was rising or setting or something, and he thought it was so beautiful, he looked back at his wife to see her reaction. Whoops. And then she died again. He was really upset.
He didn't read the terms and conditions.
He did not.
He just clicked agree.
Yeah.
Oh, what a mistake.
Danger.
So then I was thinking, okay, this movie's about the afterlife. I think it takes you through both heaven and hell. So what are some other notable movies that take you through the afterlife? And I did think of some, and I will tell them to you. My favorite movie with a depiction of the afterlife is Beetlejuice.
That's a good one.
Ridiculous, right? Yeah. They've got the handbook. They go into the waiting room.
Everything's like the DMV.
Yeah. I don't know why. I just like that. Supposedly the Dietz's house is supposed to be purgatory, or at least it is for the ghosts.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So Beetlejuice was one. We saw that weird, or I don't know if you saw it or just me, there's a weird French movie about Orpheus. Really bizarre. Really avant-garde.
No.
That movie was
What was the
weird.
Name of it?
Orpheus.
Oh,
but it's
no.
Orfeu because it's French.
Right.
That was weird. Event Horizon. Right? There, he's in hell. Supposedly. That's what they say.
He's in hell when he's in space?
He taps into the dimension that is hell at the end.
Okay.
Right? No? I think so.
I feel like he was... I mean, it's been a while since I've seen Event Horizon, but I feel like he was having visions, like he was hallucinating.
I think he...
And then they open some kind of...
Portal, but I think it's a portal to hell.
Portal, but like a Hellraiser portal?
I don't remember. I think so. I do think so.
Hellraiser's one.
Hellraiser. Yeah. I have that on here.
And Hellraiser 2, like, had the Leviathan and the labyrinth and all that stuff.
Yeah. Yes. I thought that was pretty good.
Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey's got to be on there.
It is. Bill and Ted. Bogus Journey. I know. They make friends with death, too.
Yeah, they got to beat him at a game in order to get out of hell.
That's right. Mm-hmm. All Dogs Go to Heaven. Remember that movie? That's a childhood trauma movie. That's scary.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
You never saw that?
No.
Carl?
I saw it when I was a kid. I haven't seen it as an adult.
Burt Reynolds was the voice of the dog. And he dies. I forget how he dies. Is he hit by a car or something? I don't know. Or is he old? I don't know. And he has to, get back to Earth to, redeem himself or whatever. But it shows heaven and it shows, dog hell. It's scary.
Dog hell?
Yes.
There was a movie, was it Albert Brooks, Defending Your Life?
I don't know that
where
movie.
Where he dies and he has to... he's on trial for things that he did while he was alive, or I don't remember if he had to, do that to get into heaven. Okay. That was one I remember when I was younger. Not well, though.
How about another movie that came up was Legend with Tim Curry and...
I don't know that that was an afterlife, because they're not dead.
No. They're not dead, but is he the devil?
He's technically Darkness. His character's name is Darkness.
Oh, okay. Like Charlie Murphy?
But what was the big devil guy with horns?
That's him.
That's Tim Curry.
Oh, that is him?
Tim Curry. That was Darkness. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But they're not dead.
No.
No, it's not really the afterlife. Is it?
No, it's his realm, but I don't...
He does take her there.
Yeah, but she never dies.
Well, you don't have to die. You could just be in the afterlife without dying. There's no rules.
I feel like that it was a place.
A fantasy place.
Right.
Okay, that just was modeled after hell, the underworld.
What was the game, and I don't know why I'm drawing a blank, because I like the story... Not Faust, but, oh my God.
It was a game?
Yeah, with the whole nine levels of hell.
Dante?
Dante's Inferno. Inferno.
That was a good game.
It was a game, that was actually a really interesting depiction of hell and all the different levels. And,
yeah.
You'd go through lust, gluttony, and,
Yeah.
All the different rings and the inner rings of hell. And you had to fight. These demons or the lost souls of hell. It was actually pretty cool. Carl, did you ever play that?
Maybe.
That was a good game.
When are we talking? That's got to be old.
It was I'm looking it up. Keep talking. Either PS3 or PS4.
Oh, that recent?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know that I played it.
Yeah.
I think it was called Dante's Inferno, wasn't
it? I think you're
it?
Right, yeah.
And I remember because it was Electronic Arts put it out. I remember because... They had a Bill Withers song for the commercial "Ain't No Sunshine," and it was really good.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And always is it Hieronymus Bosch that paints all the weird
Garden of Earthly Delights?
Yeah,
he does depictions of hell too. Yeah. Yeah. Dante's Inferno is a 2010 action adventure hack and slash video game.
Yeah.
PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, but that was a fun game.
Yeah.
He talks to Virgil.
Yeah, we talked to all the different...
He has to save Beatrice.
Main figures in the story.
Yeah, that's cool.
It was pretty cool.
That was fun.
But these are all depictions of hell. Like, there's plenty of those.
Well, heaven is boring.
I mean, Meaning of Life. Monty Python's Meaning of Life.
That has a
good depiction of heaven.
Isn't that...
Everyone has
it. It's like a show tune or something. It's like...
Yeah. They have the Welcome to Heaven thing.
That's right.
Eric Idle singing that song.
That's right.
Yep.
That's a good depiction of heaven.
I guess so.
That would be more interesting to me. Because otherwise, heaven seems boring. The way it's depicted.
Heaven might seem boring, but if there is one, I choose to go there.
Oh, well,
instead of hell.
Absolutely.
As interesting as hell might
be. No, I don't want to go there. I wouldn't want to go there.
It's going to be too hot.
How about the Norse version of heaven and hell?
Valhalla.
If you're a warrior and you die in battle, you go to Valhalla, which is like this great drinking hall, and you carouse with the gods and just drink and eat. But if you're just a regular person, you go to hell. But it's not bad hell.
It's like the one L hell, isn't it?
It might. No, I don't think so. I think it's got double L. It doesn't matter. You might be right. But it's just cold and boring. And that's what you do. It's not bad. You don't get, like, punished. It's almost like a purgatory.
I'm pretty sure Carl's right.
Just no mead?
No mead. You don't get that.
Single L hell.
Single L hell?
Yeah.
Well, I know that her name is Hell.
Yeah, I don't know.
The goddess that presides over Hell is Hell.
Right.
You're right. It's H-E-L. She's a mythological being.
And then what was it with the Aztecs where you would, like when we went to Mexico?
Yeah.
Or that area. I think it was the Aztecs where you would sacrifice yourself and then you'd end up in like super heaven or you'd get there sooner than everybody else.
Yeah, you had to go through all these levels of existence and then semi-heaven.
Right.
But then if you were a sacrifice, you just
straight to heaven.
Straight to heaven. Jump to the head of the class, like chutes and ladders, right up the ladder, right to 99. So, hey, all right, that's incentive. You know, you need to give people incentive to want to just allow themselves to be killed.
You know, I'm sure that there are other fantastic depictions of the afterlife in some fashion in cinema. And none are coming to mind.
I can't think of any more.
The Seventh Seal isn't really... Does that count?
That's death. He's death, right? Max von Sydow is death?
Yep.
But I don't know if you're... That could be like maybe purgatory? I don't know.
Yeah. Kind of limbo.
There's a lot of purgatory. That's very symbolic, anyway, of a lot of things.
Yeah.
But, and sometimes I just think of Looney Tunes, you know? Those versions. And then Carl said this was based on a book, which I did not find in any of my research.
Yeah, it was based on a book by Richard Matheson. I think he wrote it in the 70s.
With the same title,
mm-hmm.
What Dreams
Are. Same title.
And what else did he do?
He was very prolific.
Yeah, Carl's like, oh, just Richard Matheson. Like, I'm supposed to know who that is.
He wrote a bunch of Twilight Zone episodes.
Oh, do you know which
Night
ones?
Gallery. I'm pretty sure he wrote some episodes of Kolchak. The Night Stalker.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of genre stuff. He wrote I Am Legend.
Which I never saw.
Which was adapted into movies. Well, there was Will Smith.
Yeah, I saw it.
That was the Will Smith one, but they also, there was one with Charlton Heston.
Oh, same name?
No. The Charlton Heston adaptation was Omega Man. And then they adapt, the first adaptation of it was with Vincent Price, The Last Man on Earth.
I've seen that.
All of those are based on Matheson, I Am Legend.
Okay. All right. Got it. Do you think he wrote the Twilight Zone one where the guy was the last man on Earth and he breaks his glasses? Stumbles upon the library?
Let me see.
That's one of my favorite Twilight Zone episodes. I feel for that guy. It's like, oh, my glasses. I need those. There was time.
He should have gotten LASIK.
They didn't have LASIK in 1950s.
Yeah. Okay. He wrote 16 episodes of Twilight Zone, including Nightmare at 20,000 Feet.
Isn't that
the gremlin on the plane? One?
Yeah.
Little Girl Lost, yeah. Steel.
It was his birthday recently.
Yeah, he turned like a million.
He also wrote several adaptations of Edgar Allan Poe stories for Roger Corman.
Oh. He did a bunch of stuff with Vincent Price, right? Roger Corman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, very interesting.
But, yeah, and a bunch of his stuff has been adapted before. Steven Spielberg's one of his first movies, Duel.
Okay.
Was based on a Richard Matheson story, Incredible Shrinking Man.
It's very prolific.
Legend of Hell House, okay. Stir of Echoes.
Wow. Maybe I should read one of his books. Have you ever read one of his books?
I read I Am Legend.
Did you like it?
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, it was good.
It's awesome.
A good read. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. Well, that's it. That's all I got.
What else do you got?
That's it. I think, for today. I don't know.
This is when I think of unbearably sad movies.
Oh, yes.
Well, it's going to be tough to top The Whale in terms of ones we've watched for the podcast, but this is the first time I've seen What Dreams May Come, not for a long time, but
yeah.
I'm interested to see if it's as sad as I remember it. Being.
I mean, it is sad, but I think there's an element of hope to it, and it doesn't end like The Whale does, you know? I think you come away with it maybe a little less down. I don't know how best to put it.
Is that true? Well, no spoilers.
I don't know. We're going to watch it, so we'll find out.
I just don't remember. I don't remember anything.
Neither do I.
I mean, the story sounds sad. Sounds terrible.
Sure, any premise where your family dies and then your wife commits suicide.
I know.
And you have to search for your family members in the afterlife and come to terms with that. Speaking of, this is another interesting Robin Williams movie where he takes a dramatic role as opposed to a more comedic role.
I enjoy when he does that.
Some of his best stuff are serious roles.
I mean, arguably, Mrs. Doubtfire. It's funny, but it is a more serious role, right?
He's got a funny persona, but he himself, you know, the real character is sad. You know, he misses his family. He feels like he's separated from them.
He's one of those actors, and I obviously he's dead, so I feel bad speaking ill of the dead. But his shtick wore thin on me. Like his comedy, for his comedy roles, I kind of lump him in with Jim Carrey and Will Ferrell, in that they had a shtick, and they weren't necessarily playing a character. They were themselves, or they were the shtick was the character.
Yeah.
So, for people like that, I almost more enjoy when they do stuff like this.
Do something different.
When they do something different and kind of stretch their acting chops, because it's like, we know Robin Williams is can be wild and funny and everything, but then you watch Good Will Hunting or one of those serious movies he was
in. Dead Poet Society.
Mm-hmm. And it's just like, oh my God.
I never saw Good Will Hunting.
It's good.
I never saw it. Is it good?
Will Hunting.
Did you see it? You didn't see it either.
I don't think so, no.
No, I've never seen it.
Like, so is that the one with the chalkboard and then what's the problem? Something.
Matt Damon and Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
But, you know, 1 Hour Photo, Insomnia, like all of those serious movies he was in were really good.
They were.
Wasn't he in Death to Smoochie?
He was in Death to Smoochie.
I don't remember how I feel about that movie either. I remember watching it. But
I like that
wasn't
movie.
Wasn't he like a...
He was a children's host, like a children's television host.
Wasn't there like a... Somebody in like an animal costume?
Ed Norton.
Ed Norton, right.
like Robin Williams was the established...
It was like a
Children's show host.
Yeah.
And Ed Norton comes along as Smoochy.
He's like an upstart.
And kind of pushes Robin Williams' character out. And so then Robin Williams basically makes it his mission to try to get rid of Smoochy to get his job back.
It's absurd.
But, you know, I think if you're a public figure, that whole speaking ill of the dead doesn't really apply.
I know.
Because you have like a body of work that remains after you're gone that
I feel bad for Robin Williams, though. I feel bad about how he died. And,
sure.
You know, a lot of people loved him.
And I used to watch Mork and Mindy growing up.
I loved Mork and Mindy.
And I thought that was funny when I was younger. And his stand-up. Some of it's
funny.
Is still funny.
Yeah. Oh, in his improv, he could make a routine out of anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. He really could.
But I agree, it wears thin quickly. It's like, all right, that's enough of Robin Williams.
Right, and it's like, I know Aladdin is just revered, but it's just, sometimes he could just be insufferable with that. It's just, oh, God.
But, you know, taken in the kind, like when I was younger, when that came out and I saw it, that was funny.
Yeah.
Watching it now, Aladdin is still... You know,
Glenn's okay.
On the other end of, or the more, it's good. It stands up for one of the, you know, it's not even more recent. I lose track of time.
I know.
It's not more recent at all.
It's really not.
30-something years old. Yeah. Right.
But I don't know.
Plus, Aladdin was cool because they did like computer graphics. I know we talked about this recently.
Yeah, like the cave.
The Cave of Wonders and the magic carpet and all that. I thought that was really cool. I didn't mind the genie when I was younger. But yeah, you watch it. Like, I remember watching Aladdin with the kids and being like, oh, okay.
It's like you can't separate Robin Williams. Like, it's when you see those characters in those comedies, it's just, you can't take Rob, like, well, you can't not see Robin Williams.
Right, the genie even looks like him.
Well, they did that on purpose.
What? But
yes, I know what you're saying. You know what I get mean. It. Yeah, I do. I get it. And he's very he's a manic. He has a manic personality.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I think, you know, can be troublesome.
It gets old fast.
Yeah, but it's...
It's like, oh my God, all right.
Probably hard for him, too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I forgot what we were originally saying. Oh, it's just the saddest movie.
Yeah.
So...
And I think it'll be interesting. I'm anxious to see it again, too, because I did enjoy it. I thought it was impactful, I guess, when I, you know, when I first saw it. But now that I'm older and have, I guess, more relatable points to these characters.
You've got children yourself.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
I just wonder.
I need to know right now. I'm putting you on the spot.
I don't care.
If I died, would you go get me in the underworld? I need to know. If you had the opportunity to go get me, if you were presented with a scenario.
If you went to different places?
I would need more details, like in the context of how this film works.
Any context. Or
would I go get you?
Go get me.
If there was a possibility that I could, of course I'd try.
Okay. I just want to make sure. I just want to know.
I mean, now it's been documented that I've said it.
It's on tape.
There are witnesses.
It's digitalized.
But yeah, I mean, why would I not? I'd be like, screw it.
I gotta go move on now.
Your wife has passed and you have the opportunity to go get her. You have to take on this blah, blah battle. And yeah, I'm like, nah.
I'm tired. I mean,
come on.
Unsubscribe.
Unsubscribe.
She had her time.
I gotta move on now.
Not my fault she ended up down there.
Right.
All right, I just want to make sure.
It's time to move on.
I need to know.
Well, now I'm going to ask the same in return.
Of course I'd come get you if I could. What?
I mean, that's a silly question. It just is.
It's not. It's real. I need to know. Carl, we'd come get you.
I've already established I'm going to stay on Earth as a ghost.
Oh, that's right.
I'm not going either place. I'm going to be hiding people's stuff.
That is not right.
Scaring people.
You've got to move on. You can't stay here. That's not...
You don't know that.
That's not natural. No, even if you could stay here, you shouldn't stay. You're going to be a poltergeist? That's going to be your... You could learn the mysteries of the universe. You're going to move people's shoes.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Untie them.
Retie them together.
Or tie them together so they trip. Yeah.
Okay.
That would get old like Robin Williams.
Get Robin Williams old.
Yeah.
Hide people's keys.
Come on, Carl. Damn it. You're going to be like the Candyman.
Yep.
Damn it, Candyman. Damn it, Carl.
How did my Social Security card get ripped up in the trash? Ghost Carl.
Damn it, Carl.
Speaking of Social Security card, right, you get this card issued when you're born.
We're going to have a little ASMR.
No, please don't. Don't make mouth sounds or coffee sounds.
I'm drinking my iced coffee. Okay.
You get issued this piece of paper when you're born.
Don't laminate it.
That you're supposed to have for the rest of your life.
Yep.
Yeah. Don't laminate it.
Don't alter it.
Don't alter it.
Preserve it.
Don't do anything. Just
let it be.
Retain it. And that is your, like, you know, identification number forever.
Yeah. You're supposed to memorize it.
Why are you not supposed to laminate it?
I don't know. Remember it says on it, do not laminate this card? I don't know why, though.
That's why I'm mentioning lamination in the first place. But I don't understand why you can't do it. I can get a credit card made out of steel.
Yeah. That's not government-issued
exactly,
piece of paper.
Exactly. That's the difference.
Why can't they make Social Security cards out of the same kind of paper they make money out of? That would be more
like that
durable.
Cloth kind of hybrid.
Expense? I don't know.
But...
You'd think it wouldn't matter if they're making money out of that paper.
Right.
Right. Okay. They have the paper.
Yeah.
They do.
Just print something else on it.
Just make the cards.
That is a special linen blend.
Because you can request a new card. Social Security card.
I would hope so.
But you would save on new card card replacement. So in the long run, you'd save money. I'm going to propose my idea.
I mean, you get a library
your
card.
Congressperson.
It's made out of plastic.
You could get a card made out of plastic. Or you could laminate the one you have, which is what I
did. Don't do it.
I already did it. Mine's laminated.
You laminated your Social Security card?
I did. Who cares? I did it when I was in college and I worked at the copy shop. And we had this giant, amazing, huge poster roller laminator that you'd like pass the whatever you were laminating through the rollers.
So did you have like a 2 foot by 2 foot laminate with your social security card?
They also had the smaller laminators too, but that's what I used.
That just seems wasteful.
I used a smaller laminator.
Oh, all right. I thought you used the industrial
one. No, that would be hilarious.
You're
I'd
like
be afraid of
cutting
that.
3 feet of plastic yes. off yeah. from the edges.
We had that. We had this ream cutter. So you could cut like, you know, 500 sheets of paper at a time. You'd push it all in and you had the safety thing that came down and two buttons. So both of your hands had to be like occupied
so it wasn't
on either
a hand
side.
Remover?
Yeah. And that thing was, it would slice through paper like butter. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. I loved it so much. We had a booklet maker. It was like its own little machine and you'd set it up and you could get it to like fold in the middle and staple. We had a
spiral bound
machine. You'd punch the holes and then you'd feed the spiraler through. I really liked that job. I wish I could have kept that job. I wish I could have worked in a print shop. It's very satisfying.
You would have gotten business from my wife.
What? For why?
She spends an inordinate amount of time in staples.
I know she's not
copying musical
she's,
scores.
She's not. But they're approved copying, of course.
What do you mean approved copying?
Because musical scores are copyrighted.
Oh, they give her crap for it sometimes. Oh. And plus, sometimes the scores are too, like, the size
they're,
of them.
Yeah, they're off. They're
off sizes.
Size. Yep,
and
that's
it's just,
true.
It ends up being a nightmare more yep. often than not.
Yeah, it is. But I would do that. I loved that. We had a big, giant, like, industrial copier. And you could, you know, churn out like thousands of pages. I loved it.
I so speaking of the afterlife, this sounds like a level of hell for me.
No. See, one person's hell is another person's paradise, I guess.
Photocopying in the afterlife.
Oh, God,
forever.
Binding booklets.
I would love it. It was very relaxing. You could chat, you could daydream, think about things.
Get paid minimum wage.
I did.
That's why.
Hey, I rose through the
you
ranks.
You can do that now.
To supervisor.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want a side job? I bet they're hiring.
They don't. That doesn't exist anymore. Come on.
Yes,
are
it
you
does.
Kidding? Of course
barely,
it
there's
does.
There's barely any copy places. There used to be Kinko's, you know. There's none of that
there's
anymore.
There's Staples. Is Office Max still a thing?
No, that's where I worked.
Oh, was it?
Copy Max, which was a subsidiary of Office Max, but they're closed.
Staples
is
still around.
The place I used to work is now a coal-fired pizza place. So,
I thought it was L.L. Bean.
No.
That's next door.
That's next door. It's weird. I find that to be weird. You drive
making
by.
Copies, making pizza, same thing.
Is it the same thing?
Copies of pizza.
Copies, pizza copies.
My first job's a Panera now.
What?
Oh, Discovery
it's
Zone.
Discovery Zone.
Panera,
that's
right.
It's a Panera now.
That was a cool job, Carl.
It was a cool
Discovery
job.
Discovery Zone. And not as cool as copying things.
No. But yelling at kids or going up slides and cleaning up poop.
Was there a lot of poop at Discovery Zone?
Oh, my God.
Really?
The two things that spring to mind. The first one is kid comes up to me and is like, oh, I think somebody had an accident in the play area. So I'm like, okay. So I go in and this kid must have pooped himself. And it must have gone down his pant leg to the point that he walked through it. And you remember those Family Circus cartoons in the newspaper
yeah.
where they'd have the dotted line that shows where the kids go?
Yeah.
I had to crawl around the entire play area cleaning up poop footprints.
Yeah, little poop dotted line.
Little poop. I could track where the kid went.
Did you find him, though?
By the poop footprints. No.
He was gone.
I didn't end up finding him.
Did you have, like, a special, like, a code brown? Like, when you say, oh, we have a code brown in the ball
no,
pit.
No, no.
What happens if somebody, like, peed in the ball pit?
Well, we'd have to close
take
it down,
it all out,
and,
right?
And we had this room where we'd put the balls in these like mesh bags,
yeah.
And there were hooks along the perimeter of the room, and then we had different. So we had like a soap nozzle, we had like a disinfectant nozzle,
wow.
And we would do that like once. I think once a week we would do that. But obviously, if something actually happened,
you'd
we would
that you were aware of
increase the schedule. But the thing that's the worst. Ever, somebody came up to me, the manager, and said, Carl, we got a report of a situation in the, I don't remember, it was the, I think it was the ladies' room because there were no urinals. It was just the stalls.
Yeah.
Somebody had an accident in the ladies' room. can you go clean it up? Oh. Obviously, I was a little running on the totem pole at this point. So I said, okay. So I go in and I check. It was almost like those, you remember those, you know those horror movies when somebody's hiding in the bathroom and the killer is going from stall to stall, yes. like trying to find them. So I go in the bathroom. I don't see anything in the immediate area. Mm. I open the first door of the stall, nothing. I open the second stall door, nothing. Now I've got the handicap stall.
Yep, the larger stall.
The larger one. Yeah. And I'm girding my loins here. I'm like, yes. I don't know what's going to be in here. So I open the door, and it creaks. Mm-hmm. I don't know how whoever did this. So, first of all, the toilet was stuffed with toilet paper. And it was coming out of the, like, it was coming out of yeah. the toilet bowl like a Kraken. With like brown on
ew,
it.
Ew.
And there was a pile of shit. Like.
On the toilet paper?
On the floor.
Of course.
It had to have been the circumference of like a large pizza.
Come on.
Like somebody shit and then like sat on it and like smooshed their.
Aww.
Like, you know, sometimes like when I put ketchup on a hamburger, I'll put a big dollop in the middle and then I'll put the bun on and kind of like
yep.
smoosh it.
Oh.
It's like somebody did that with their ass.
Oh.
And there, and it was like there was some on the wall.
Oh.
And there were like pieces of corn and like carrots. And so I stood there for a second and I just looked at it and then I walked out of the bathroom. I knocked on the manager's room, their office, and I said, one of you's helping me with this.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened in there.
Yeah.
Or what this person ate. I'm not cleaning this by myself. We had to throw away the mop head after we were done cleaning it. It was like, horror.
Who does that?
And not tell anybody. Like, they just did that and...
And left.
And left.
Like, that's not an accident. Someone had a
like
incident.
Right. Like that was a biological attack.
It was a biohazard. It really was.
It was.
Yikes.
I'll never forget that. It was just disgusting. The only other disgusting thing I remember is we had this big red slide that went from the third floor of the play area all the way down to the first floor.
Yeah.
And it was steep. Like in the summer, if kids were wearing shorts, all we'd hear all day was their skin on the slide. So this kid comes up to me and he's like, somebody threw up on the top of the red slide. I was like, okay, show me where it is. So he brings me, the kid brings me up there and there's a pile of vomit on the top of the slide. I'm like, okay, what's your name? I don't remember the kid's name. Jimmy. Yeah. Okay, Jimmy, listen, I've got a very important job for you, Jimmy. I need you to stay here. And make sure nobody goes down this slide until I get back here with cleaning supplies. Okay. Listen, Jimmy. If you do this for me, I'll let you pick any prize you want out of the... Because we had one of those little ticket prize deals. I'll let you pick a prize out. I had no problem bribing kids.
No, that's smart.
I would bribe kids at the end of the day to clean up the balls that were falling out of the ball pit. So I didn't have to do it. So I'm not above child labor.
No.
I'm like, Jimmy, very important job. I need you to stay right here.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I go, I'm quick, crawling through the tubes. Hair still doesn't grow on my kneecaps after this job.
Yep.
Crawling out of the tubes, grab the sanitizing spray, paper towels and everything. I race back up there. Not only is Jimmy gone, the vomit is gone, and there's a line of kids going down the slide.
So, problem solved itself.
So I looked and I went, all right, okay. That takes care of that.
Yep. Wow, gross.
Yeah.
That's gross.
Good times.
Kids are gross.
Kids are gross.
People are gross.
People in general.
Yeah, they are. Well, I know all about that.
But, yeah.
But I bet that was fun anyway.
Yeah.
Bodily.
It was. I mean, I was in the best shape of my life between that job and being in the receiving dock at Sam's Club on my feet all day and running around.
Yeah. That's
right. It was great.
Didn't you have to be in receiving at like 4 a.m.? I remember that.
3 a.m.
Because Carl would come over to our apartment. After working all day, and you would like fall asleep.
Yeah, it was bad.
Because you were so tired.
Because I had to get there 3 a.m. and then work until I was salary. Ugh. So some days I'd work 3 a.m. to 3 p.m., 3 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Yeah.
And my sleep schedule was all screwed up. So even on the weekends, if I didn't have to work, I'd be tired all day just because I'm all messed up.
Yep, definitely.
But oh my God. Anyway.
Good times.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think I ever heard that bathroom story. Oh. It's really disgusting.
I get Discovery Zone stories for sure. We've like stuff. One of these days, I'll talk about random stuff we found in the ball pit.
Ooh.
Mm. Yeah.
Any needles? I hope not.
No, but a box cutter.
A box cutter.
We did find a box cutter in there. Oh. Found a $100 bill once.
That's a good one.
Which I kept.
Yeah. Well, you did try to do the right thing.
I did. I handed it in. You know, I kept it up at the front desk and waited for a couple days, but I totally took it.
$100 bill,
garage door opener. that picture of the small Chinese boy.
You still have that?
I still carry around in my wallet.
Yep.
I found a picture of I think his name is Yin Hua, because that's the name that's printed on the back of the photo. Nice. It's a photo of a little Chinese boy.
Yeah.
I found it in the ball pit, and I'm like, this is somebody's kid. This photo's just thrown away. It looked like a passport photo. And so I stuck it in my wallet just because I felt bad throwing away a picture of somebody's kid. And every time I've gotten a new wallet, I've just transferred the photo. So in my pocket right now is a photo I found of Yin Hua.
Not creepy at all.
That I found in the ball pit of Discovery Zone.
Like 30 years ago.
From either some point between 1995 and 1999.
Oh my God. Not creepy.
And then part of me was like, I want to try to find him.
How are you going to find him?
The social media?
Yeah.
Let it go viral. But then I'm like, what's an adult Yin Hua going to think that this random guy from Rhode Island is carrying a picture of him when he was a child around in his wallet?
Nothing good.
No. Now let that be.
I'd much rather say on a podcast that I'm carrying around this random Chinese boy's picture.
No one can prove it. Although it is true.
It is true. 100% true.
Yin Hua.
Yin Hua.
Okay. Well,
on that note.
We had Asian rice and chicken. Thai chicken.
Wow, you just totally...
Speaking of small Asian boys.
We ate...
Small Asian boy. No,
Thai
we had
food.
Thai chicken curry, which was very good. Delicious. I have to say that Trader Joe's makes an excellent Thai red curry sauce in a jar, which I almost never use, jarred sauce.
What's your problem with jarred sauce?
I just like to do it myself.
So it's not even just the receptacle that the sauce is in, it's store-bought sauce in general?
Yeah, I'm a snob. But I must say, this was excellent, and I would get it again.
And then little,
it was good.
Little samosa things.
And little samosas, also from Trader Joe's, because I've been going there a lot. Because Trader Joe's is fun.
They've got stuff that the regular supermarkets don't
have. That's right, and their quality, I think, is better.
Well, because don't they have their employees like taste test anything before they like put it out for sale?
Is that true?
I feel like that.
They might. But they do. They have fun things. It's like fun to go there.
Their ginger snaps are slamming.
Oh my God. We have like mini pretzels, mini chocolate covered Trader Joe's pretzels that we're going to have for dessert. Mm. But yeah, we had Thai chicken curry and rice and samosas. And now we're going to watch the saddest movie ever. Maybe it'll make me sad.
Great.
I should watch that again. I'm not sure.
All right.
Let's fire this up.
Let's see what may come.
Okay. And we're back. We saw the dreams.
From the dead.
They came, they went. From the dead.
I wanted to stay in hell, but you guys talked me out of it.
We took the elevator back.
There was a elevator. Oh, my God. Okay, so... guys, what did we think of this movie? Anybody? Don't jump all at once.
I liked it.
I liked it too. But less.
Yeah, here's what I'm going to say about this film. I bet this was a great book.
Yeah.
I bet I would love this book. I bet this book was a tearjerker. I bet it pulls all the right heartstrings. But now I can explain why I never connected with the movie. Because there were a couple scenes that got me. But they weren't between the husband and wife. This movie is... Okay. I don't even know where to start. There's no chemistry between the couple. Between Robin Williams and his wife. I don't think. They're supposed to be soulmates. I just don't feel it. Like, at the end when they get reunited in heaven, I should be crying. I should feel emotional, and I didn't. And then there was too much goofy, like, jokey... I don't know if that was a Robin Williams thing.
Like a nod and a wink kind of, hey, and then this.
Like goofy lines.
Yeah.
That took me out of it. And then there was a lot of, like, all I can say is, like, late 90s stuff. Like, all of Cuba Gooding Jr.'s whole persona was very late 90s. It's kind of goofy and smarmy, and but it just didn't land for me. Like, visually, is this a cool movie? Yes. Are the bones of the story good? Yes. Then there's a lot of hand-waving about how heaven works and what the rules are and who goes to hell and why. And I couldn't get over that either. I don't know if that's in the book or not, but...
It seems like that's less important to the story, though. I totally get what you're saying, but... I don't know how important that is to the story that they're telling in the film.
I think it's hugely important. Like, when they talk about how... they make it a point to say, if you commit suicide, you go to basically your own personal hell. Now, that I can follow that. But...
And everyone's in their own personal hell, heaven, what have you.
Right.
They're, like, overlapping... universes, and then there are common areas between those, apparently. And you have jobs.
Yeah, but even the common areas, like the quote unquote common area that he was teleported to, was still his daughter's version of heaven.
That's true. Yeah.
So how common is it?
It's not. It's not. She tricked him to think it was a common area, but it was really her area and what she thought of. So. Just a very brief overview synopsis is kind of what I read in the beginning, which was there's a family, a husband and wife. They meet, obviously, and they immediately fall in love. They're soulmates. The movie makes pains to tell you right out, they're soulmates. They love each other.
Explicitly.
Yes.
Like, they literally tell you.
Tell you that multiple times.
Twin souls, even.
Twin souls. Thank you, Carl. And they have two children, and those children die in a terrible van accident. And they don't really go. They kind of gloss over that part, which I get. That's okay. And the parents are shattered, but the mother can't keep it together. She blames herself. She should have driven the kids. Somebody else drove the kids. And she attempts suicide. She ends up in a mental hospital. And the husband, Robin Williams, thinks he's being strong by keeping it together, but he ends up distancing himself from his wife. And...
Well, she kind of... It's implied that she almost resents the fact that...
He's okay.
He wasn't... Like, he didn't get committed.
Right.
Like, he was perfectly normal through this.
Right. He wasn't shattered the same way.
Yeah.
She was...
I think more than implied.
Yeah.
They kind of come out and say it.
And he kind of says, if you want to leave me, you can't, you know, if you want a divorce because I can't be there for you, whatever, you can. And she says no, and they end up together, and then their relationship is strong again. They kind of build their life back after the loss of their children, and then he dies in, like, another car accident.
That she blames herself for, because he was running an errand for her.
For her, yep. So he goes to heaven.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but don't you think that it's kind of a cop-out for... everyone who died to have been involved in an automobile accident.
Automobile, like, there couldn't be some. I know they're very deadly and common.
I know.
That's what the movie is telling us.
Yes.
Okay. It just felt like, I don't know. There could have been something else.
How else would you like it to have happened?
I mean, it had to be sudden.
Differently.
A hunting accident?
What? Yeah, not
a freak lightning bolt.
Sudden, it wasn't like some prolonged disease or something like that.
Right.
Yeah. Sudden and tragic.
Like an aneurysm?
Anything. Just something different.
No car accidents. Anyway, I agree. It's very weird. He goes to heaven. He gets... And this is where heaven gets convoluted and the rules... It's kind of like... Make it up as you go along.
Well, wait a minute. So he dies and he does... He makes it to heaven. He has trouble letting go. And...
He pulls a Carl.
Yep.
Hangs around.
Not as much mischief.
Yeah. He tries to reach out to his wife and talk to her and touch her. And she can't handle it. Yeah.
Yeah. So he and his, you know, spiritual guide, Cuba Gooding Jr.
Who's naked and blurry.
It's weird.
He is naked and blurry.
It's kind of weird. Yep.
Like Bigfoot.
Yes. Just like Bigfoot.
It says, you know, when you're done hurting her, you'll be able to move on. And that finally lands with him. And he lets go and realizes he's not helping her.
Right.
And moves on into oil painting heaven.
Right, because she's an artist and he loves painting. So he creates... So one of the rules of heaven is that you can kind of create your own environment. Your mind is... You think, therefore you are. And so you can think of whatever you want. And you can... be surrounded by that. And so he thinks of this painting that his wife made. And that painting is supposed to be their idyllic retirement zone. It's like
their retirement zone. Like the forbidden zone. It's the retirement zone.
So, and that's kind of cool. I like the way they do that, where it's all paint and it looks like an oil painting. And then...
it's neat.
Yeah, it's cool. And then he... starts to get used to heaven, and then another rule of heaven is you can be whoever you want to be. So come to find out, Cuba Gooding Jr. is really, he says he's, he comes to Robin Williams in the guise of Albert, who is Robin Williams' first doctor mentor, but then it's revealed it's really his son. It's really Robin Williams' son. He just came to him in the guise of... So you can see how this can get... like, you can follow it, but it does get confusing, and it's a little bit jarring. And then the daughter shows up, and she's an airline stewardess, Asian airline stewardess. And then she reveals that she's his daughter. So but he has
she
these
appears
little...
as that stewardess. Both children have reasons for appearing as
to
they
not
do
freak
to,
him out?
To the father. Well... no. The son appears as this guy, as...
Albert, the
Albert,
doctor.
Yes, thank you. Because, and he says it, that he knew that he would listen to him.
Okay. He would be able to give him guidance.
Yes.
Okay.
And the daughter's was less...
that was just...
it was...
weird.
She recounts... traveling with her father, and her father was basically eyeballing this stewardess.
Right.
On a flight, and commented how Asian women have such poise and beauty and grace, and she wanted to grow up and
be that
an Asian lady, or so, you know, embody those ideals.
Yeah.
So that's why she chose to represent herself as that to her dad,
yeah.
Which is bizarre.
Kind of weird. It's a lot to unpack there. But anyway, we're not going to. We're going to move on.
And then the dog died too, and then it's
the dog is there. So anyway, come to find out, he gets told that the wife committed suicide. And he's like, great, when do I see her? And the answer is you can't. She's in hell. Because suicides... go to hell, not because they're bad or immoral, but for two reasons. One is because they can't move on and they think they're still alive, which doesn't make any sense.
They
want to
continue to hurt themselves. Like they punish themselves by killing themselves and they do that.
They're stuck in that.
Yeah.
And the other reason is because they've disrupted the natural order of their lives. They've taken, so they can't ascend to heaven. So there's multiple reasons.
Yeah.
So he says, I'm going to go get her. And Max von Sydow gets involved, and he's always fun. I enjoy him.
He's the soul tracker.
He is the soul tracker.
Yes.
And he ends up being... the actual mentor, Albert.
Right.
It's right. Okay. So Robin Williams finds his wife. She's in this messed up version of their house. It's kind of cool. I do. The hell portion is my favorite part of this movie.
Oh, and Max von Sydow's character also says that we appear differently than we did in life, so that those, I guess, insignificant properties are stripped away and you can see the character of a person for who they really are. Like,
Yes.
I get that a bit.
Yeah. So anyway, he sees his wife, and Max von Sydow says to him, you can go find her, but she's not going to recognize you. You're not going to get her to come back. This is for you to say goodbye.
Mm.
And he's like, no, I'm gonna do this. So he goes there, and she's all stressed out. She doesn't recognize him.
And he warns him.
Yeah.
Like, if you stay in there too long, like, you'll go crazy. Yes. Like, you can only stay in there, I think he says, 3 minutes.
You'll be part of her hell.
Right.
You'll be absorbed into her world. Her reality will become your reality. So he goes there, and he tries to bring her around, and it doesn't work. And he goes back out to Max von Sydow, and he's like, you were right. Here I am. But I'm going back in. I'm staying here. I tell my kids I love them, and I'm not going to leave their mother alone.
Because he felt like he abandoned her before.
Right, so his redemption, and this is why I think this makes a great book, and that the overall story is very good. It's just, I didn't like the execution in this movie. His redemption is, you're going through hell. You've already done this once before. I wasn't with you that time, but this time I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to stay here and go through this with you. And that was his sacrifice and his redemption for what happened before. And then she recognizes him, and he starts to kind of lose himself. He doesn't know where he is, and now she's like, oh, come back. And then they wake up in their magical paint house, and everything's okay.
And the daughter's there, but the son isn't.
No, the son was there.
He was there.
He was there.
He was?
Yeah.
He showed up.
He ended up there. He was hugging the mom.
He came in while she was hugging the daughter.
Yeah, and he was there too.
Oh, okay.
Then they had like a group hug.
That's good, because I thought that was weird. I was like, where's the son?
No, he was there.
Where did he go?
The son's there. So, I think I got a lot more out of it this time. Just being older.
Do you think it's fair that his wife held it against him that he remained strong?
No.
Throughout this ordeal and felt abandoned because he didn't go crazy and try to kill himself like she did?
No.
I think that's totally unfair.
I do too.
You know, he was doing what and he apologized for it, which I thought was wrong.
I think that if he wants to, I think her demanding, you know, that he should have felt a certain way, or he should have gone through the same thing she did.
Mm.
That's not fair. I think if he, upon reflection, said, you know, I see what you're going through, and I probably should have had more empathy for you, or whatever. I'm okay with that. That's how he feels and felt bad about it after the fact.
I don't think that that's the case, though.
But I don't think it's fair to demand somebody feel a certain way.
Yeah.
But at the same time,
people grieve differently.
That's right. But maybe she felt like they don't go into it enough. It's like, did he ignore her? Did he close himself off?
Yeah, I mean, you only get
a little bit of that. Maybe in the book you get.
You know, she tried to kill herself before because she's got the scars on her wrists. So what were the circumstances there? Right. Was he burying himself in work to forget about it?
Exactly.
Or?
Did she want to talk about it with him? And he's like, no, we got to just keep going, move on. You know, who knows?
There's
not enough information.
It's a deficiency in the screenplay, really, because if you're going to use those anchor points for telling the story, you got to back them up. I mean, we shouldn't have these questions, or at least.
I mean, it's a lot of it's implied. Like, you can kind of extrapolate what happened without seeing all of it, but I wish they had delved into it more.
Yeah. I mean, we're reading into it, but I don't know.
Yeah. Again, I bet this book's really good.
So what didn't you like about the execution in terms of, you know, turning it into a film? Is it the screenplay? Is it how the visuals were presented, like how it translated to film?
No, I think the visuals were cool, actually.
Yeah.
And I think they hold up pretty well, them being almost 30 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't think there was a lot of chemistry. I think you need that. You're talking about true twin souls, you know, soulmates, so people who, I didn't feel that.
Like, you weren't
I,
sold on their relationship.
No, yeah. Not at all.
Sold.
Twin sold. And, I don't know, like I said, some of the corny jokes or the hokiness of it. There was.
I have a feeling that a lot of that is because they cast Robin Williams. And
I
they
do
probably
too.
Figure if we've got Robin Williams, we've got to interject some kind of humor. And I mean, it's a heavy subject matter, so I mean, maybe some of it was out of necessity just to kind of let the little bit of tension out of the teapot.
You know? I suppose so, and I get that. However, it is heavy subject matter, and I think it takes me.
It makes it even more. Jarring.
It's jarring. Like, I don't know.
And it, I don't know. It seemed very saccharine, if you know what I mean.
Oh, let me tell you, I really wish I, off when we stopped recording, but when the movie was starting, I threw out a little tidbit that I read that Ennio Morricone originally did the score for this movie. Mm. And the producers, like, or the studio nixed it. They were like, no, no, no. Get somebody else. And nobody really knows why, or at least the people who wrote that little trivia bit didn't know why. And whoever they chose instead, this score to me was over the top and kind of intrusive and a little too sappy.
Michael Kamen is the one who did the score. And
yeah.
I happen to see that in the opening credits, but... And don't ask me what other stuff he's done, but I know.
Like, how do you know him?
That he's done many other scores. Oh. Like I've listened to his other stuff, and I can't for the life of me remember anything. But he's prolific. You know,
okay.
It's not just some dude.
Well, this wasn't good. It was too much.
But Morricone, like that'd be weird. I can't imagine. I would love to hear.
What he put together,
but I can't imagine it. With this
I don't know. It was when you say saccharine. That's how this like the swelling strings, and it was just so over dramatic. Like the movie's dramatic. It can be dramatic, but this was like gushingly over the. I don't know. There were things. So I kind of stand by how I felt when I was younger. Like I think it's a sad subject, and again, I bet the book is excellent. I just have that feeling, but the film didn't do it for me. I feel like I didn't feel as sad or emotionally connected as I should, and this is a story that I should be emotionally connected to, I feel.
Yeah.
Like, it has all the yellow.
It's important, you know, to emotionally connect to characters in a film like this, given the subject matter. Yeah.
So, I don't know.
You know, you want to at least feel, I don't know, some affinity with the characters and relate to them and their relationships and their what they're going through and things. And
well, and this is supposed to, this is the kind of film that's supposed to tug on your heartstrings. You're supposed to cry a little bit. You're supposed to really feel it. And there were too many things going awry that were distracting me that I couldn't commit emotionally. I don't know. Does that make sense? I don't know.
It does. I mean, I'm not going to interrogate you. I'm not going to have another pie scenario.
Oh, no? You don't want to yell at me?
I'm not. I didn't yell at you. I just dug a little deep.
With the knife.
Right? Oh, my God. With a drill.
With a drill.
Straight in my head.
Trying to extract a bullet.
God. Cut it out.
Right up against the bone there. Let me just...
Let me scrape it around.
Hammer drill.
Let me get the dildos.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I enjoyed watching this again, although definitely not as much as when I originally saw it.
I mean, it was cool. I remember it being cool in the theater on the big screen, visual standpoint.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And I mean, we were watching it on my crappy DVD version, so
it's okay.
I bet it would look good in like 4K.
Maybe.
Maybe. You know what? And that's one of the things I was thinking about while we were watching it. I was nervous that it was going to be like, oh, great, you know, we're going to just see this like blown up, pixelated version because it's a DVD, but it kind of worked.
I think it did work. And Carl, I asked Carl if he had this movie, and he said yes, but only on DVD. And he said it's streaming HD on Amazon. You can rent it. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I'm like, well, you know, it's $3-4. Who cares? But I did think about that, and I'm like, oh, this movie has a heavy computer graphics. It was made in '98. I don't know if I want to watch it in HD.
And it kind of works with the whole oil painting thing.
Right. a little bleary.
Kind of blurs. And I find that it has a lot of dreamlike quality to it, especially the way that they handled the passage of time, where things, you just kind of, it's like you're tripping through time.
It is very dreamlike, and I liked that about the movie.
Hell was cool.
Hell was super cool. Yeah. That was my favorite.
Parts, like, it was very fantasy. Like, Hell almost kind of seemed like labyrinths at some points. You know, they're walking through, like, the sea of heads or sea of faces.
And yeah.
It was just very interesting.
And the big hulking ships.
Cerberus.
Yeah, the ship. And did you ever play the game Little Nightmares?
No, I don't think so.
It's a game that our daughter likes played and... There's one and two, and it's very much like that, where it's this big, like, the first game you're on this ship, and you have to get through it, and everything's dark and dank and kind of twisted and rusted and hulking, and then the second one is set in different areas, but like houses and factories and cities, and it's just everything's kind of off and twisted and dirty. And that's what it reminded me of. But I thought the sets were really cool, especially in Hell.
Yeah.
I thought it was good. It wasn't your typical, like, fire and brimstone.
It almost was kind of Mad Max-ish at times.
A little bit, the Hellevator area.
Everyone's got their suitcase, and they all look like they have psoriasis.
They did have psoriasis. Everyone was scaly.
They need that medication. What is it?
Which one?
Nothing is everything. That's the theme
I don't know.
Song.
There's Sky Rizzy.
It's Sky Rizzy.
Oh, thank you. Wow.
Is that the Cyndi Lauper one?
Oh, I don't know. No, the Sky Rizzy commercial I've seen has like a they're on amusement park rides.
Yeah.
They're like, I can do anything with Sky Rizzy.
Yeah. People aren't looking at my skin anymore.
That's right. I'm happy for them.
Oh yeah, me too.
It's an autoimmune disease.
Yeah, no, sounds terribly uncomfortable.
Oh, psoriasis. Yeah. Ugh. But there's lots of good treatment out there now.
That's good.
We sound like a commercial? Are we sponsored by Sky Rizzy?
We should get some of that to Hell.
Get some Sky Rizzy.
Some Sky Rizzy down there. Just imagine it.
You know, I don't know if it was just the subject matter or if there were specific scenes, but this movie made me think of the other Jacob's Ladder a few times.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I can see that.
Which.
Isn't that a movie about purgatory, too?
Yeah, arguably, I mean, it's about, it depends. There are different interpretations, but letting go is part of it.
Yeah,
And I think Jacob's Ladder is a much better movie.
it is.
I like how we referenced Bosch.
And, oh, yes.
They had the Garden of Earthly Delights painting.
That's it.
In their bedroom?
Over their bed.
Over their bed.
That is not a choice that I would ever make.
That's setting a tone.
What kind of painting would you want over your bed?
Even if you're like a museum curator or paint restorer, artist, whatever. Okay, if you're a person like that, your tastes are probably a little more eclectic or whatever. But you still don't put that over your bed.
Or you do.
I guess. Everyone's got a thing.
Look, everyone's different.
And that's fine. Different strokes for different folks. Still kind of weird.
Because isn't it, that painting is three panels. One is the Garden of Eden. And then the middle one is like Earth. There's a lot going on. And then the other panel is Hell. It's like Earth gone wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever looked at in detail?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
I love it. I love it.
All the weird stuff when you zoom in.
Just really weird. Mm-hmm. And then when you think about how long ago it was painted, because it looks very modern to me.
Yeah. No, that guy had issues.
He had amazing imagination. Yeah. And a lot of, there's a lot of, I could take a whole class on that. There's like a lot of symbolism in there and it'd be cool.
Yeah, no, not a painting for the above your bed.
Not for the bedroom. What would you put in its place?
I put one of those paintings of Jesus at the Eyes Folly.
You would not do that. Jesus. Would it be like hippie Jesus?
What was in The Shining? What's the guy? Dick?
Halloran?
Yes.
Yeah. Dick.
When they show him later on, when he is getting, you know, like a... He's feeling the shine from Danny.
Oh, when he's in, like, his apartment?
He's in his apartment, and there's that big, like, velvet painting over his bed.
Or it's wherever, a black lady,
where he
isn't
is. It is. Yeah. She's naked.
There you go.
That.
That's what you'd, that's what you'd put in our bedroom over our bed?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
What about a velvet Elvis?
A Velvis?
Velvis?
That sounds
vaguely vulgar.
Just put a mirror. You're not doing it right if you don't put a mirror.
Mirror goes on the ceiling, Carl. I guess you could put another mirror on the over the bed and you get some
you're gonna get all kinds the
weird angles.
Funhouse mirror.
Funhouse mirror.
Like a black light psychedelic coaster.
No, you don't want to black light your bedroom.
Ew.
Like a Jackson Pollock painting.
Oh, my God.
Do you ever bring a black light to a hotel?
No.
Don't do that.
I mean, don't do that.
That's when you bring, like, rubber sheets. Ugh. Just cover all
hazmat
that up.
Suit.
Yeah, gross.
Just don't think about it.
No.
Power through it.
God. Eesh.
Well, what would you rate it, Rachel?
I'm going to give it... I don't know. I guess 2 3/4 out of 5 oil paintings of retirement zones. You know. All right. What are you going to give it?
Yeah, I would give it 3 streeps.
Yeah.
Because if I say 2.5 is my neutral, like I didn't mind watching it.
Yeah.
3. I mean, I liked it. I'm not over the moon about it, but
right.
3 streeps.
It had some. It had some things in there that I did like, but not a lot.
I'm glad you guys both feel this way too, because I felt a little callous watching this and being like, "I don't really care for this," because it's like telling an important story about the afterlife and relationships and children dying and whatever, and I'm like, I don't
love this. I didn't.
I'm not feeling it.
I wasn't. I didn't feel it.
Well, good.
I think that it was the execution was just fell a little short. I think that the story, the bones of the story are very good. I actually thought, who's the lady that played Annie, the wife?
Annabella Sciorra?
Sure. She did great.
Yeah.
I thought she was a good actress. Werner Herzog is in there. He's a face in hell. He has like a little cameo. That was weird.
Which is bizarre.
Yeah.
That was Werner Herzog?
I told you it was. Yes.
Yeah.
I told you. And then I said he sounds like, if I close my eyes, I can't tell if it's him or Christoph Waltz.
I know his voice. I would never be able to pick him out like you did on sight.
I heard his voice. I knew he was in this. That wasn't like a secret thing that I just discovered. I saw
he must have been the guy he thought it was his father.
Yes.
Yeah, with the glasses.
Yep. Yeah. That was him. So, You know, if you haven't seen it, you could see it.
You can say that about any movie.
Yeah, you haven't seen it.
If you haven't seen that movie, you could
you
see
could
it.
You could watch it. It's very 90s. It's very 1998. It really is.
Comparable to what other 90s film jumps out at you that...
No, I just mean the jokes bucket. And the... Some of the camera techniques, like the slow motion.
There's a lot of slow motion.
A lot of slow-mo weird
transitions,
slow motion, yeah. Just
not
weird.
As bad as freeze frames, but...
Ooh, I love freeze frames.
Yeah, that's
is that,
bad.
Is that a Jay Giles Band song?
Freeze frame.
Is that Jay Giles?
I don't know.
Who is that?
It's a song.
It is.
And a terrible transition technique.
Yes. Or...
But slow-mo, you gotta use it sparingly.
Ooh,
it has to be... You can't be heavy-handed with it, because as soon as you do, everything just looks stupid.
It's distracting.
One of the two movies I walked out of in the theater, one of them was directly because of slow motion.
Which one?
What one?
Kingdom of Heaven by Ridley Scott.
Oh, I remember you talking about that.
That movie is lengthy.
I went to the theater. I sat down.
Yeah.
I knew it was long, because 90% of Ridley Scott movies are long. Within the first 5 minutes, like, a dove flew past the screen in slow motion. And I was just like, you know what? I'm not in the right headspace for this right now. I can't.
And you know what? That's not a bad movie. Have you ever seen it?
Nope.
It's not
I got
bad.
Up and I walked out.
It's pretty good.
One of the two times I've walked out of a theater.
That was about the Crusades, wasn't it?
Yeah, like Orlando Bloom was in it,
yes!
I think.
That's right. Yeah. We
watched
that.
It. Yeah. It was inoffensive. But apparently it was not okay.
On that day, I was just like, I can't watch a three-hour movie with slow motion birds flying around. I just can't. I don't have it in me.
Was the other movie Avatar?
No, the other movie was whatever the first Transformers movie was with Mark Wahlberg. I'd seen all of them up to that point. So we're talking about a movie series about alien robots.
Yep.
Or aliens that are also robots.
That are cars and
that
trucks.
Transform into Earth vehicles to hide themselves.
Yes.
So this is the world these movies are in,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Michael Bay.
So at one point in that Transformers movie, Mark Wahlberg... is hurled into the air.
Yeah.
Very human Mark Wahlberg is thrown into the air.
The meat sack
and
that is Mark Wahlberg.
Optimus, I think it was Optimus.
Yeah.
Boston.
Reaches out his giant metal hand.
Yes.
And catches human Mark Wahlberg in his metal hand.
Yeah.
So in a series about alien robots that transform into vehicles, I'm sitting there and I'm just thinking, he'd be dead. If a human body got flung in the air and a metal hand caught it, he'd be dead immediately.
Carl.
That was your Transformers jumping the shark moment?
That was it. So
that was your unwilling suspension of disbelief moment?
I slowly took my 3D glasses off. I folded them. I put them on the seat next to me. I leaned over to my friends I was at the movies with and
Who were you with? Were you with Jeff?
I was with Jeff.
Poor Jeff.
And I said... I can't do this, guys. I'll see you. And I just stood up and I walked out.
You left and what did everyone else watch the rest of
the movie? They were just looking at
me.
Yeah, yeah, they stayed.
Oh, my God.
And I think Jeff texted me afterward. He's like, I can't believe you just got up and left.
Okay, I'm done.
I was just like, I haven't seen any of the Transformers movies since.
How many are there?
Too many.
There's a lot.
I've seen one.
It's like Fast and Furious.
With Megan Fox before she
there were a bunch with Shia LaBeouf.
Turned into a goddamn weirdo.
Jumped the
and
shark.
And Megan Fox. And then there was at least one Mark Wahlberg one, maybe even two. Then they had like the Bumblebee spinoff, and then they just came out with one where they're the stupid dinosaurs. I don't
dinosaur.
Know.
Like Transformer the dinosaurs?
Yeah, the Dinobots. Like the
Dinobots.
Beast they basically like the Beast Wars series they adapted in.
My God. Did you hear that they just remade Roadhouse?
Yeah, with Jake Gyllenhaal. It's on Amazon
Prime. Nobody wants that though.
Good
Come on.
Lord.
Does anybody want that? I don't know.
It's they're gonna keep doing it if people keep watching them.
I know. I'm not going to watch it. I'm not interested.
Stop watching this shit, people.
Listen, people, four. I'm
the
counting
only
how many.
Way.
Five.
Why
six.
Remake Roadhouse?
Because it was successful. Seven.
Yeah, but whatever.
I mean, it's an existing IP that brings name value. They cast somebody like Jake Gyllenhaal, who's popular and people
and Conor McGregor.
And Conor McGregor's the villain.
UFC fighter, right?
And so they're bringing in that aspect of like this is an actual fighter.
Fighter, yeah. Roadhouse.
So you're talking like a corporate executive.
Well, I'm not saying I like it, but
I don't know.
If nobody went to see if these stupid live action Disney movies bombed, they'd stop.
They are. They're not doing that well.
They're doing well enough to turn a profit.
True. There were 8 Transformers movies.
Holy crap. Mm.
Yep. And counting.
Well.
Yeah, it's about 7 too many.
Yeah.
Thank God we have a wealth of older movies.
We have so many.
To choose from.
Yes.
This really wasn't one of them, though.
Would your moms like it? My mom has seen this and she cried her eyes out.
Did she?
Oh, of course she did.
Yeah, this is like a mom movie.
This is a mom movie.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
It is.
Yeah, my mom. Yeah,
it might not land like with it. All of them. I don't know. It might feel.
It didn't land with one this way mom. Or another. Sorry.
No.
I'm heartless.
Callous.
I know. Just cold.
You're a monster.
That's children and husband
that's
dying.
That's why we're twin souls.
You didn't think so last week. I don't know.
Last week we were not. Last week we were divorced.
Damn it, why don't you like pie?
And Darren Aronofsky and his other films.
No, boo.
What's wrong with you?
Boo. Piss.
It's funny what we like and don't like and feel passionate about.
Yeah, it's funny what we get upset about.
It's one of those, like, I never...
Don't push me again. We can have that whole conversation all over.
No, please.
You know, part of me is always like, I'm not going to fault people for what they like. Like, people like what they like. There are plenty of crappy things that I like that other people don't.
Sure.
But at the same time, I think it's human nature when you're trying to share something that you like with other people. And they don't like it. It's frustrating. I think your natural inclination is to kind of get defensive about it and try to like Matt seeking to understand why, you know, what is it about this that you don't like?
He'll never.
That's
understand.
At least what I want to know. Like, I don't care if you like it or not.
Yes, you do.
I would prefer if you did.
Can't.
But I want to understand why.
My mind is an enigma. It's a mystery.
Okay.
Just the mystery of the universe. You just never know.
We're kind of each our own universe.
That's right. I remain mysterious.
All right. I'll leave it at that. Like I said, I don't want to have that discussion.
We're not
yet,
going
but
back
can,
there.
We could.
We can't. Carl.
Yes.
Carl. Mm-hmm. You're up next.
I am.
Do you want to? I know what we're watching. I'm not going to out you. But do you want to tease us a little bit? You want to give a little bit of a reveal, a little taste?
So we
of what's to come?
We are watching
like a colored weather kind of hint.
Nothing can top that.
No,
colored weather.
Just imagine a parrotfish kissing.
Oh.
So we are going to watch what I believe is technically in the many years we've been doing this pre-podcast inclusive, the first what was marketed, which I might not necessarily agree is, in fact, a kid's movie.
Whoa, a children's movie.
And it was a movie that I saw when I was very young that made a terrifying impression on me.
You were older than 4, right?
Yes.
Because you have no memories before that.
I was older than... I've never quantified it with an age.
Yeah, you have.
Have I?
Yeah, I know.
I've said 4?
Yeah. Well, you know, you've said like around...
I've said I don't have early memories, but I remember assigning 4. An age.
Yep.
That's when they took you to the lab and erased.
It's true.
They erased it.
Flash the light.
You watched this movie and everything before that.
And I, for years after, I would explain it to people... And they would say, you're making that up. There's no way a movie like that exists. And when eBay first was a thing, the very first thing I ever purchased on eBay...
Oh, it was?
...was a VHS copy of this.
Okay. And then the second thing you got was Possession.
No, it wasn't the second thing. But I have since acquired a... Blu-ray copy.
Oh, thank God.
Of this film.
Okay.
And we will be watching it next
time. I'm excited.
I've seen it too. A long time ago.
I've never seen this.
How much of it do you remember?
Very little. There's like one scene that I can recall with some confidence. The rest of it's probably my brain making stuff up.
Okay.
We'll find out.
Yeah.
But we're watching it.
That'll be interesting.
Is it? I wonder if it's worth watching under any special circumstances. We can talk about that offline.
Special circumstances? Special. Like under duress? Or? No.
Let's all hang upside down.
Maybe. I don't know.
But no, we'll be watching that. It's gonna be an interesting time.
All right. First kids movie. In the pantheon
first official
of
kids movie.
MRT films.
Maybe young adult.
Yeah. Well, no.
No.
I do,
young adult.
I do think it's a kids movie but it was made during a time that they took more risks with kids' movies than they
care about
do
scaring
now.
The shit out of them. Young adult is like The Hunger Games or Twilight. Those are young adult.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. No,
that's like teen
movie. Not, it's not young adult.
So, and
it's kid.
For all of our loyal listeners, I did research, and my pick next week, while we are watching my personal copy, it is readily available on YouTube. So you'll be able
is
to
it
watch
really?
Along with us. Oh, yeah. A couple different versions of it are
on
there.
Oh, nice. My movie is available for rent on Amazon this week. That's it. That's it. And Carl. Carl Flix. But he only has a crappy regular
DVD. It wasn't
DVD.
Bad. It was serviceable.
It was totally fine. Yeah. It doesn't bother me at all. I don't care.
But don't bother.
But, you know, hey, if you want to watch it, you could watch it.
Yeah. I mean, after that milquetoast review and also the fact that it's like heavy subject matter dealing with death and...
Tragedy. Not just death.
Like
tragedy.
I said, tragedy. It is tragic.
That whole family
There is redemption,
died.
Though.
There is redemption.
As do all.
Yeah, but they all
families.
Died prematurely.
Yes, that is true.
I think I got the most choked up when the dad gave his son's eulogy. And it's like, oh, my. And when he was talking to the wife about when they were arguing about the son and his potential and what he could be and how he disappointed his dad, all those things got me sad.
Yeah. And the part for me when he was talking to her when she's in her suicide house in hell.
Yeah.
When he comes, before he leaves and he gives her that kind of
I know,
spiel,
that was sad too.
That was sad.
I know.
But that was good, in a good way.
Yeah,
right,
I agree.
Cathartic. I gotta get all this off my chest.
Yeah, like mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Yeah, that was good.
Thought that was good, but...
It was, but, you know, there's a few bright spots in another way.
I'm trying to figure out why I connected with it so much back when it came out,
know.
Or why I was enamored with it, because it wasn't, like, there wasn't anything directly relatable to me at that time. I think it was just maybe an interesting take on what happens, you know? What happens when you die? How does this work? And...
I think so.
The special effects, I think, played a lot into it as my affinity for it as well.
But I think that's what pulled you in.
Yeah.
You're like, wow, this is different.
Pretty neat. Yeah. But anyway.
All right. Well, thanks again for listening and tuning in, and we'll do it again next week.
We've got a lot of... some good numbers for listeners.
A lot of listeners.
A lot of new people liking our social media posts and
That's
pages.
Cool.
So we appreciate all of you.
Crybaby's still number one.
Crybaby's almost at 100.
So
yeah.
Weird.
95.
Crybaby. We got to pick another John Waters movie to see if
that's what it is.
If that's what it is. Because otherwise I don't know why. That's the best episode. But hey, whatever, if you haven't listened to it, give it a listen. Get it
Don't
to 100.
Don't pad your episode
Shut
numbers.
Up. I'll do what I want.
Your episode.
My episode. All right, everyone. We'll catch you again next week.
Unless we're all dead.
Oh, my God.
We'll
in a tragic car accident.
Then we'll be reborn.
Only if we want to be, according to this movie, Reincarnation.
Bye, they don't make the rules.
Bye.